So welcome back to Curious Questions with me, Ricky Williams, and my guest today is a friend of mine who I met here in LA, and he's an actor, comedian, producer, and a host, really funny guy. His name is Pritesh Shah. So Pritesh is a triple Virgo, triple. Okay, what that means is the sun, moon, and ascendant are all in Virgo. And when I met Pritesh, it was obvious right away that this guy was a perfectionist, you know, like, and he was very observant. He just noticed everything that was wrong. He noticed when people gained weight, when people lost weight, when people were losing their hair, when people had just got a haircut, you know. And I thought to myself, this guy must be a Virgo. And so when he talked to me and said he wanted me to look at his chart, obviously I looked at his chart. I was like, whoa, this guy's a super Virgo. And getting to know him, I realized, wow, he really, you know, was hiding a lot of who he was. And he's a 12th house Virgo. And the 12th house literally is right behind the ascendant, which means it's what we can't see and what we hide. Whenever I notice people not being genuine or not being themselves, I can't help but tend to like poke and prod. And so we had one of those kind of tense friendships where when I felt something I would call bullshit. And it seems like it's helped because he had what I would say is like a spiritual awakening. And I met up with him. It's been a couple of years, but I met up with him this past weekend for Blaze's 18th birthday in the desert, and we got to hang out. And I just noticed there's something very different about him. And so I asked him if he wanted to come on, because I know he's into astrology, very spiritual guy. If he wanted to come in and talk about, you know, what's changed about him, because planet Neptune been opposing his sun. So I'm thinking it's going to be a very interesting astral conversation. So let's talk to Pritesh and see what he has to say. Welcome, Pritesh. What's up?
How's it going, man?
Welcome to Curious Questions.
I love that title.
Yeah. It's so, very Ricky. Thank you. Yeah. So do you know like the idea or the premise of what this podcast is about?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. No. So the idea is I look at my guest's birth chart and I use it to guide my questions.
Well, you know my chart pretty well, so
exactly.
And you've seen throughout the years.
Yeah, exactly. We were in talks of starting our own podcast. This is before Curious Questions, and we were gonna call it Dark and Darker. Dark and Darker.
Look at us.
Exactly. So you your bio says that you are an actor, comedian, producer, host. Would you add anything else? Writer.
It's funny when you read that, you're doing some writing.
Yeah,
I guess all those things. I guess when you say all those things, it just feels like all these masks that I was wearing that were a lot more important to me when I started out that have a lot less meaning, if that makes sense. But yes, I mean, those are things that I do that I enjoy a lot. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I just had Stephen Forrest, my astrology teacher. We just recorded a podcast. And one of the things he talked about relative to the way he practices astrology and the way I practice astrology is that astrology doesn't describe us. It really more describes a process. Mm. Okay. And what I just heard from you, it sounded very much like process, right? This idea of change, that you're not the same way you used to be.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I haven't heard it said like that, but that resonates when you say that, because it's like, we always talk about the journey. Yeah. And I think most people use that term somehow as they like move through life. Yet I feel like the journey for us mentally slows us down because we stay attached to the either it's people or places or things or what we've read or what we used to do, and even for myself. So when you read those styles, of course, like I still act, I do stand-up comedy, but they don't. It's like who I am, and outside of all that, it's just so much larger. So
yeah,
it's interesting as I progress and move on my own journey, those titles feel so limiting to hear. Mm. It was weird to hear you say it. You know what I mean? It just kind of makes me smile, to be honest.
Yeah. So I'll jump right in then, because your chart is extreme. Your chart is extreme.
Yeah.
No. I'm using that language on purpose, because the idea is, when you look out into the world, there's so much variety, right? And part of that variety is some people are more extreme and some people are less extreme, right? Mm-hmm. And when you look at a chart, you know, you can see, wow, this is intense. Wow, this is like extreme, and not good, not bad, but wow, you know? And I'd say even in extreme, I would even translate it into, wow, this person has a unique destiny,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, a triple Virgo, and that's what I mean by extreme. Whenever there's a triple, it's just extreme. Yeah. Even if it's a triple Libra, it's extreme niceness. You know, it's whatever it is, it's extreme. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, because I'm defining these astrological symbols or energies or whatever you want to call them as describing a process, I'm saying that the process that the life process that you're in is, from looking at the chart, the first thing I would say is this is extreme. Okay. Mm-hmm. Extreme. All right. And normally I would lean in and ask you the question, have you had any extreme experiences in your life? But I'm not going to do that yet, because I already know the answer to that question. I'll go into a little bit more detail about the extremity of this Virgo energy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And even some details, some nuance here, if I can do a good job, okay? So,
okay.
When someone says someone is a triple Virgo, right? What we talk about on this podcast is the primal triad, the big three: sun, moon, and the ascendant. Okay, so that's three. So triple, it means that all three are there. Okay, generally speaking. The positive thing, right, is because some people, you know, they might feel like, let's say their sun is in Pisces and their moon is in Virgo. Okay, then they would be, my head and my heart are saying two different things. Okay,
yeah.
And so they can feel more split. Okay, but when the head, the heart, and the body are all saying the same thing, it leads to a necessary kind of extremity that you really need to embody in three dimensions. Virgo energy. Okay. Virgo energy.
Yep.
All right. So the way I would describe Virgo energy, okay, and process, because it's a process, it exists on a spectrum. On a good day, okay, on a good day, this is what Virgo looks like. On a bad day, this is what Virgo looks like. And if we live, right, we live on all of the extremes eventually. Okay. And so I think of Virgo, I think of the evolutionary aim of Virgo is striving towards perfection. Okay. That's one, right? And it's not achieving perfection. It's the striving towards perfection. Okay. All right. It's the art. I think of the art of improving, the art of getting better. Okay. And the art of getting better is this. Okay. It's an art. It's an art form. Okay. The art of getting better is like this. It's, on one hand, it's recognizing what needs to improve. Okay? All right. On the other hand, okay, it's improving it. Okay? But doing what it takes to get better, okay?
Constant.
Exactly. Constant.
All right. I'll let you finish.
No, this is where you take over. But my point is, in this chart, it needs to be constant. And I'm saying, like, how has it been to live? Real talk, real talk, because right, you're living this experience. How has it been to live with this constant need to be better, which means a constant awareness of what's not good enough?
So from a generic answer to that question, and you already know this because we're friends and we've spoken about this, but like, one, and this is before I even dug into this, even before I really went deep into a spiritual journey or learned about this, I always felt like an outlier. That's for sure. Because for me, certain things that I found to be obvious, or I felt like it is obvious, wasn't so obvious. And what I mean by that is discipline, strong discipline. And if I go back to the earliest moment where I can remember, and I probably had moments of this before, but this is my earliest memory. I remember being in fifth grade and being really sick, really sick. I got really sick. I got ringworms from a friend's cat. It was a whole story. But the point of where I'm going here is the medicine they put me on made me really fat. And you've seen me. I'm not a big guy. So that's just not how my body's really built. But I was like 12 or 13. This medicine they put me on, I got chubby, man. I got chubby. Like, I had the biggest boobs in my class. You know what I mean? Like, I got chubby, bro. So this was me, my own will. My dad had a Nordic track. I used to wake up at 5 a.m. I cut out dairy, and I was on the Nordic track 45 minutes to an hour as a 12-year-old because I wanted to get back in shape. And that's one of the earliest memories when I think back to how did this energy influence me as like a prepubescent child? And that's a memory that always comes up for me. And that's something that's always stuck with me, is like addressing a problem and just fixing it or doing what I can to fix it.
Yeah.
To me, that's such an obvious thing. And so when you talk about the ebbs and flows, for me, how I've seen it affect me in a way that's not rewarding is being highly critical, not just of myself, but when I get into that place, I become critical of everyone around me.
Yes.
So I'm projecting. I end up projecting it big time. I start criticizing the way people behave, think, feel,
look,
and judging. Yep. Pretty heavily without knowing their own scenario. And that's literally my worst case. It doesn't just end with me. It spreads to everyone around me, and they become projected on, whether you're my parents, my romantic relationship. And now I'm very well aware of that. So I definitely don't take it there. I'll still feel it and think it, but I won't verbalize it because I recognize that's just my own thing I got to handle. In the best case scenario, I'm just doing whatever I can with love. So the criticism isn't even coming from a place, and this has taken deep work, man, because it used to come from a place of just not being good enough, almost hating and resenting myself a little bit. And that's not a happy place. That's not a fun place to live in at all, actually. I would say my acting coach about a decade ago, when he laughed, and I was offended when he laughed because we had a phone call, and he goes, "Tell me about you." And I was like, the first thing I said, and I was proud of myself too. I was like, I'm a perfectionist. I just want you to know I'm a perfectionist. And he just was silent on the phone and laughed a little bit, kind of like the smile you gave right now, because he realized that mentality alone was limiting me. That thought of it was thinking I'm going to get better, but the mentality was limiting me because I wasn't allowing myself to grow and appreciate that process. It was constant judgment. And in acting, I learned he always calls it beautiful mistakes.
Yeah.
That's where the beauty comes. Anytime you see something, anytime you forget a line or you thought, that's where the beauty is. It's not having it all down always. There was no room to play. So I guess with all that energy, I've had to learn to play. You know what I mean? To let it be free, let myself move, let me have freedom within the moment, utilizing that energy. Preparing for the moment, for damn sure. Working my ass off to prepare, but then letting it go. Which was a very hard thing to do, is that let go moment. But in the highest case scenario, I'm just proud of myself, happy. I work immensely hard, but I'm enjoying the process. I'm not just doing the process to get somewhere. I'm enjoying it. When I'm at the gym, I'm having fun. When I'm working on a script or stand up, I'm having a good time, not thinking about I got to do this so well so it goes well, or you know what I mean. So the whole process is enjoyable, even if it's quote unquote, a lot of work to the outside world, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So the other part of the Virgo is we bring houses in. And since the ascendant or the rising sign represents the beginning of the first house, it's not really associated with a house. Well, that's not true. I guess you could think of the chart ruler, but anyways, so in your chart, the sun and the moon are both in the 12th house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it's saying that you're doing Virgo in a 12th house way. And so again, Virgo is perfectionist. That's one part. But again, it's the process of moving towards perfection. The other part of it is Virgo is really about competence, becoming really good at something that you then offer in service to other people. Okay?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So the first part I like to think of Virgo is training. because if I'm Virgo rising, anyone that has strong Virgo in our chart, we have an openness to being trained. You know, you talked about your acting coach, right? To being coached, right? Because one of the things when you recognize, you know, what's not right about yourself, it generates a lot of humility, right? Sometimes too much.
Yes.
Sometimes too much, but it generates a lot of humility, and that humility in a positive sense allows us to recognize people that can help us get better and to be humble enough to actually listen and take their advice, you know?
Yeah, because you feel like it's a resource. It's like, if I have this resource of someone who knows more than me, I feel stupid not to use. It's like, you know, people talk about being opportunist. I consider myself an opportunist of knowledge. An opportunist of getting better. You know, like if I see someone at the gym that's doing something that I want to work on, I'll approach them and I'll listen.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's very easy for me to do that, because to me, it's like, you know, that makes me think of something. I think part of that energy too is, and a lot of my friends in the acting world, when it comes to like getting agents or talking to people, I'm just not afraid of asking for help.
Yeah.
I'm very good at asking for help. I will reach out to people and be like, hey, I was just interested. Not trying to intrude on your life, but this is what I'm looking for. And I just wanted to approach you and see if you'd be willing to help me out or refer me. And guess what? Like, people are really willing to help. I think usually people are just really scared of asking. And for me, that part of me is just like, I am not afraid to ask for help. At the same level, I'm not afraid to provide it.
Yeah. Well, this is what Virgo is all about. Triple Virgo, right? Yeah. So like walking, talking example of Virgo. But there's something about when you put the sun and the moon in the 12th house. Okay. So the traditional name in America, also in Vedic astrology, but the traditional name for the 12th house is the house of self-undoing, the house of our evil angel. It has all these really negative and dark connotations.
House of death and losses.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
We hear everything on the planet.
Right? Yeah. And that's more of the Western perspective. Okay. And I learned astrology in India, actually. I learned Vedic astrology first. And in India, like the 12th house, it kind of has a negative connotation, but it also has an extremely positive connotation because it's the house of enlightenment. It's the house of redemption, you know?
It's the house of shedding the ego, in a way, the illusion.
Yes.
Really, it's overcoming the illusion.
Yes. And so if you put together Virgo and the 12th house, I mean, you could make the argument that you're here to become an enlightened being.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've talked about it before. I've applied that discipline to, in a way, if you can, through my spiritual journey. So when I was really going through that process, if someone said you had to meditate an hour and a half a day, guess what, Ricky? I did an hour and a half. I mean, I put a timer on my phone. It wasn't an hour and 29. It wasn't an hour and 31. It was an hour and a half, and I did it like clockwork. And, you know, to me, it's, and you too, because you're a professional athlete, so there is some level of diligence and work ethic that you had to play at the highest level outside of just your natural talent, right? And so for me, it's that was such an obvious thing to do, and well, I would find it very upsetting when people knew this is, I'm like, you've been told this is what you need to do, so you just do it. Why is the doing it so difficult for you? And that used to really piss me off. I used to get really annoyed with most of my friends and family. It's like, I'm that type of guy. I love pizza. But if I have to do a film and they have a trainer and the trainer says, you can't eat pizza for 6 months, guess what, Ricky? Not only will I not eat it, you won't even hear me complain about it.
Right.
You just do it.
Okay. So I'm going to use that example and I'm going there. Okay. I'm going there. Because this is extreme. And I believe that all of us, right? All of us are in a pursuit to live our charts to the fullest, to be like a pure example of those energies. Okay. And so I would say for you to live your best life, you have to be extreme in that sense, because this idea of if we take this example of the trainer on a movie set, right? Telling you not to eat pizza. Okay. Right. From a spiritual perspective, right? Yeah. You're in meditation, right? And you hear the voice of God, goddess, whatever you want to call it, right? Giving you instructions. Okay. Right. if you're willing to follow those instructions the way you're going to follow cutting pizza out of your diet, that you're going to be enlightened.
I mean, yeah, but I'll never put myself in the category yet of going to that example necessarily, but I've definitely had my own personal moments where you feel like those intuitive hits, you know, I like to call them, where you're sitting and it leads you in a certain way. It gives you guidance on decisions you have to make, or decisions that may lead to your well-being. And when I followed those little inklings I have, life's been pretty amazing. And I think it's when I tell the stories, I realize how amazing they are, because they don't feel like that necessarily. Because like you said, I'm always like, all right, keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then when I tell the stories, they're like, what? Like, someone just gave you money to make a film over coffee? Like, how's that happen? I'm like, oh yeah, that is like pretty wild. That's pretty cool. You know,
that's pretty wild and that's pretty cool. Okay. Just that, like, yeah. Like freeze that. Okay. And just a conversation we were having on the boat the other day. And I think we were talking about Tom Cruise. Okay. Right. And I'm just throwing this out there. Right. I'm just throwing this out there. Right. When I look at your chart, I see all that Virgo. Right. And I think, okay, as in two things come to mind. Okay. As an actor. Okay. Is if you, this is my theory, if you're just really like living your chart. Okay, living your chart. When people meet you, they're gonna get such like a strong impression of that energy that it's gonna. Let's say you meet a writer, it's gonna inspire him, whether he's conscious of it or not. It's gonna inspire him to start to write your character into something.
Yeah.
Do you know like when? Because I think I love the word.
Happened.
Yeah, I love the word impact. Impact, and I think you know the most attractive thing we can be is ourself. Okay. The most attractive thing we can be is ourselves. But I think it becomes challenging when we have certain extreme parts of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because typically the extreme parts of ourselves are the parts that the environment has the most difficult time understanding, connecting with, dealing with.
And so, then we also, there. Then, part of my growth is what I went through is that's where I felt like an outlier, right? I mean, to be honest, the weirdest thing was, I remember people used to think like I stared a lot. Is a very odd thing because I was such an observer. I mean, that Virgo thing, I observed everything, the way people moved, spoke, talked. I would literally watch men hit on women and I would pay attention to body language and how she was laughing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. She laughed really loud for what he said. So clearly she's engaging and letting him know she's interested. Like, all of this is how I do stand up, or all of these are the things how I wrote some of the stuff in Invisible Brown Man, because I paid so close attention to people's behavior. And that was that very Virgo, like it was almost like I could break down people the way they speak, move, intonations, and I would just kind of do that. And I remember as a kid, people were like, are you interested in that girl? I'm like, actually, no. I'm interested in this situation. I don't care about her. But
that's what I mean, you know, of and this is what I struggle with, of just being the weird guy in the locker room, tucked in his locker reading an astrology book, you know? And at first, it was like it felt so comfortable and so good to do it. But then I would sense other people's judgments, and then I would not allow myself to be comfortable until I got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to be me. And then it became cool, right? And then it became, isn't it cool that, you know, Ricky's reading astrology books in the locker room? And so and that's really my big thing and this is why I love astrology, because it gives, at least it gave me, and I find it gives people permission to be themselves, as extreme, as wild, as boring, as exciting as we actually are, because I think that's where we're most dynamic and we have the most impact.
I think it gives a permission to one of the first things that we want to overcome is our own non-judgment of ourselves, right? Because you can't really blossom if you're constantly judging yourself. You can't. It's a big restriction, and society already has so much judgment around, and we utilize that on ourselves. I mean, you see that when it comes to body image and jobs and money and whatever it may be, right? It's all these, they really are expression of the self-judgment,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think of Virgo in the 12th house. And I think what you're saying on the physical level, if Virgo is stuck on a physical level, they're kind of screwed. And I'll tell you why. Because Virgo is about moving towards perfection, right? And the nature of the physical level, the physical body, is that it ages, right? And there's certain things.
Well, it'd be like a plastic surgery to the max. Right? If you had all that in the first half,
that's what it is. That's what it is. I have a really good friend, and she's had a little bit of plastic surgery, but she looks perfect. And she looks in the mirror, and she has like one eye is like slightly drooped, like a millimeter, and she like can't function the whole day. And I'm like, wow, like she's beautiful to look at, but I'm like, wow, and all the power to her. But I'm like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you had Venus with your Venus Virgo first, man.
Okay, but if you're stuck in the physical,
if you're stuck, and of course you have to look at everything else. Well,
no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think part of what we're doing on Earth is when we say raising our vibration. Okay, what does that mean? It means raising our consciousness from being stuck in the physical and raising it up to something that is more real, right? Because the nature of the physical, everything physical comes and it dies, right? But there are consciousness, right? Awareness, life keeps going. So this is what I mean by more real. And so the idea of if we're going from physical, then, you know, what in this model, the next level up would be emotional. Okay, would be emotional, right? And so I think of if we're taking extreme Virgo to the emotional level, it would be about perfecting my emotional response to imperfection.
Yeah, I like the word you use, because that's what I use to differentiate, is like either you can be reactive or you can be responsive. And the reactive usually tends not to be in your best interest at times. You know, if someone flips you off on the freeway and you flip them off, well, now you just have two people flipped each other off. It did no good, right? If someone flips you off and you can just be like, all right, that person's clearly going through something, I don't need to respond back with that energy, then I can keep it moving. And obviously I've evolved into that. I think part of that Virgo energy I had was like, try me.
Right.
Try me, because My idea of perfection is not do I have to get you back, but I have to get you back so hard that you won't even try me again. I mean, of course, it was the war of words. I mean, the gab, you know, and I utilized it. Now I'm grateful that I can utilize it to make people smile and laugh. But before, I used to use it to kind of tear people down.
Yeah, too. It's a process. And this is one thing that I think is implicit in process. So I have a teacher, and he teaches a forgiveness meditation. And what you just said made me think about it. And it's probably the most powerful spiritual practice I've ever done, ever. All right. And so I think I'm going to share it. I'll just share this part of it. Part of the forgiveness meditation is something like this: life is about evolution. Okay. And evolution implies time, process, and lots of dumb mistakes. Those are inherent in the growth and evolution process. So, So if we make them wrong, or we judge them, or we try to defend against them, we actually stop, inhibit the process of growth and development. Okay? And so that's the first half, right? And the second half is the acknowledgement of our ability to learn from our beautiful mistakes, right? Yeah. The opportunity to learn from them, okay? I would say, I even go as far as to invite, welcome, cherish mistakes, because I know they always bring more awareness.
Yeah.
Because I know they always bring more awareness, all right?
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, and so a little bit more about the 12th house. The 12th house is about, like you said, it's about transcending the ego, transcending the sense of I, right? And in American culture, we're not taught to transcend the sense of I. We're taught to create, to fabricate a sense of I.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to fabricate a sense of I, not to transcend
a sense of separation.
Exactly. I is a sense of separation. All right. So I find, and tell me if this resonates, that a lot of times when there's this 12th house or Pisces energy really strong, that people will move into trying to prove that they exist. when what life is asking them to do is have the experience that they don't exist as a separate entity.
Yeah, that resonates for sure. Yeah, I mean, that resonates especially as a child, because I was doing a lot of my comedy and my performances way before it was a career, was just to garner attention, yeah, to be like, hey, look at me, I'm here, I'm worthy, I have something to offer, you know? But I think the evolution for me, actually, I know the evolution for me now is it's used more of a tool. I look at it very, very differently. It's part of just my makeup and something that I can offer from like a healing perspective and a way of connecting. It's really, instead of utilizing, hey, look at me, I feel like comedy and what I do now is more, and you saw with my film Invisible Brahma, it's like we're all the same, actually. So it was more like, hey, look at me, so I can show that I'm no different than you.
Yeah, that's the 12th house. That's kind of what I'm getting to. And it's interesting because Pisces 12th house, this energy is associated with acting, because the 12th house is where we all come from. It's the ocean that all the images, all the archetypes, all the characters, all emerge from. And so one of the general archetypes associated with this is the shapeshifter, right? And one of the things about an actor is that's what actors are doing. And in order to act, you have to have the ability to let go of to transcend your own ego so that you can play another character.
Okay? Yeah, well, and when it comes back to it, talk about non-judgment is, for example, if I get a script and my character is a murderer, I cannot judge him. You can't play a character and judge the character. I have to understand him. I have to get him. Why? What motivated this person? Why would they do such a thing? How do they feel about every other aspect of life? I can't be like, oh, this guy's bad. So that's a big part of transcending the ego too. It's just judging. It's just for seeing for what is, and not what it shouldn't be.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And that takes work. And I think we had spoke about it too. Is part of the shapeshifter thing is, once you have, the more vulnerable you get, and the 12th house really allows you that the vulnerability for thyself first, the more you can work through that vulnerability and truth for yourself, acting is going to become way more natural, right? Because the ability to tap in and experience emotion, there's less of a blockade there. You can allow yourself to feel in the moment what needs to be felt or what you want to feel.
Yeah. Okay. So, but back to what I said earlier about, you know, someone who's hearing the voice of God, goddess, or whatever. Okay. And I know this is imagery that you'll identify with, but, and I love this, but I think of Krishna, you know, and that Krishna's always playing the flute representing, mm-hmm. you know, if we can make ourselves hollow and allow, you know, God, goddess, or whatever to play music through us. Okay. I feel like that's very 12th house.
Yeah.
But I think the work we do to prepare ourselves to be as hollow as the flute is the Virgo work.
It is. It's allowing yourself to be the vessel.
Yes. And so
just like through you, but not you, but through you.
Yeah. And so I'm going to get deep. I'm going to get deep here, okay? Just cuz I feel like it today. So I imagine, you know, my stance is that everything that occurs top to bottom is part of the plan. Okay. And I think like all plans, sometimes often the plan doesn't go the way you think or the way you want it or the way you think it should go. Okay. And so that's how I make that make sense. And so I think that the movies, right, the movies that are hit movies, right? I think the people that come together to write and create those movies, conscious or not, are connected to the plan. And when the world, humanity needs to receive a message, because the whole time of human development, we always have learned through stories. Okay. We've always have truly learned through stories. So I think when a story needs to be told, the right writers are receptive enough to receive it, put it on paper, and it gets made. Okay. And so I think from that perspective, being an actor or an actress could be a spiritual act, right? If there's some kind of message that's trying to reach humanity, right? This idea of being a vessel, right? And that's all the way down, right? Because yeah. We're all connected, but some of us are clear vessels and some of us are not. So sometimes the message comes, in some days we're clearer than others. So sometimes yeah. the message comes through really clear, and sometimes it gets stuck in all our crap and it's so distorted, you know, when it comes out, it's difficult to recognize. So I think the same way, you know, when, because you hear it all, like, you'll hear it all, like J.K. Rowling, she said, you know, Harry Potter, that it just was a download. It just all came to her, and it was her job to just put it on paper, right?
She put it down on napkins.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it so, was just source energy.
Yes. And if you talk to these creatives, like, you'll see, right, that it comes through. And depending how clear we are on that day or whatever, it's transferred that way, right? And I think the last transfer, it hits before it hits, well, not the last, but the one of the last before it hits the screen, it comes through the script and it comes through the actor, right? And so this idea of, you know, I can make the argument that making yourself hollow, you know, an instrument to tell stories that change the world.
When you talk about the hollow thing, is when you're not hollow is when you hear creatives all the time say, I have writer's block. And you have to ask yourself, one, get mental, because I always say, you know, in college, when you have a paper due, you never got to tell your professor, hey, I had writer's blocks, I'll turn it in tomorrow. Like, so one is, like, you have to force yourself, the Virgo discipline is to clear the block, because you've got to tap in and get something done. But from a more creative process, like, so many of the things I've written, whether it's in the film or stand-up, people are like, dang, good set. I'm like, I kind of improvised it all on stage. People had thought I had written it down. Or you've seen me when we're in a group setting and we're all trying to have a good time. I'm just making stuff up because I'm having a good time with people I like hanging out with. You know what I mean? So it's just, I didn't write any of that stuff down. But to me, I don't even think that's me, really. You know, it's the energy of all of us there. They're a part of it. You know, I'm grasping what I feel in that moment. And certain times when I feel shut down is when I have that block where I'm not connecting. I'm not feeling. Yeah. You know, I feel a little numb.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great. You know, so a little bit more about the 12th house. Okay. A little bit more about the 12th house.
Are you just going to put my face on the 12th house page?
Yeah. Yeah. I am. Yeah. It's here. So yeah. And it's getting deeper. This is the difficult 12th house conversation. Okay. I remember I had it with Linnea. So my wife, Linnea, is a three planets in Pisces and Neptune in the 12th. So a lot of 12th house stuff. And I was talking to her about, at the core of Pisces, it's the willingness to let go of everything.
Yep.
You know, and I said it and like on a like cliche level, sacrifice, whatever. She was like, yeah. And then I said, so, you know, what in your life are you not willing to give up? And she was like, what do you mean? I said, what in your life are you not willing to give up? And when we got to the reality of it, you could tell there was this blockage, you know, there was this blockage. And so I'm going to ask you this 12th house question. Okay. And it's just for conversation. Is it like, are you like aware of like certain things when you think of, oh, if I had to give that up, I don't know if I could. Right, like not pizza. It's not pizza. We know that. But
yeah, I got you. You're not gonna make me order it today. Now. So I'll say this first, because it's funny. That's something that's been coming up for me a lot, and what I've experienced in the last few years are these things that I thought materially I wanted to experience or do, and what I have seen with my energies, Ricky, I'll be honest with you. I experience it once, and then it's did it.
Check.
And I feel like a lot of my life process is just experiencing it once. I don't have the desire to repetitively experience it. Like, for example, I got invited to this dope pre-Oscars party a couple years ago. Dope. Got picked up in an Escalade, did the whole thing. Had a great time. Got a party with all these people. And I came back the next day. I was like, that was cool. Experienced it. Did it. None of me goes, I need to repeat that. It's that's what I've definitely felt with my energy is like, the material need to experience it once or wanting to experience it once and then moving past it. The attachment to the repetition of it kind of has gone. So I guess I'm kind of getting there to your point is like when I sit down and I'm in my zone, I'm like, I'm on the top of the Himalayas, or I'm in the Wyoming, man, just like roaming, you know. I see, when I foresee my life, you ask me those things, I feel like there's a part of a lot of these things I need to experience. I've chosen to experience, my soul has, whatever it may be, TV shows, films, and all of that. But I see that as a part of my journey, as opposed to what I used to see as my goal. So if you would have asked me 10 years ago, what's my goal, Ricky, I would have looked at you and said, I want my own TV show. My goal is to have an Oscar, my whatever it may be. It would have been all these material goals and set points and things that I might have written down. And now, to me, I don't see those as goals. I just see those as things that my life will experience to help me grow and to really, I feel like once I experience it, I'll be really able to overcome the illusion of the ego more.
Okay.
Having experienced okay. it.
So I'll translate what I heard the answer to the question.
Yeah. Subtitles.
Yes. So when I asked, you know, what you could let go of, you said what I heard is that you've let go of the need to have repetitive experience, but you have not yet let go of the need to have experience at least once.
Yeah. I would say that's a summary.
Yeah. Okay. So
I think about it like, but yeah.
Yeah. Because I get really uncomfortable talking about Scorpio and Pisces stuff. So 12th house, 8th house, Scorpio. I get uncomfortable talking because I feel like there's certain places people go where they think they can say something and then you have to stop. Right. So I was on Jim Rome a couple of years ago, and he was trying to make a point because I was quoting the Buddha that everything can be medicine, anything can be poison. And he was like, so you think crack could be, you know, good for someone? And I was like, yes. I said, I can't say that crack 100% is bad for everyone. Yes, it's probably bad to become addicted to it, but it's bad to become addicted to anything, okay? So I was trying to make a statement. And I just feel like when we get to the 12th and the 8th house and these energies, by nature, they're energies that reference things that are beyond.
Yeah.
Beyond, like death, right? Because it's like, right, when someone's parent dies, right, it's like, or a child dies, right? Those are those two things, like free pass, right? Free pass. Like, we can't even talk about karma when we, right? It's edgy to, we can talk about karma when our bike gets stolen, but if we lose someone close in our life, then we're not talking about karma, right?
Well, are you saying like, so I've had a lot of dreams and a lot of myself dying all the time. And also have had some dreams of kind of looking forward to it. Now, this isn't by no means saying I'm depressed or suicidal.
This is what I'm talking about. And another example. is example from your life, right? I mean, it's funny, and you talk about this a lot, and maybe you'll get into it. But, you know, I just had a child, and I just being in the hospital in Santa Monica, like the amount of like shame and pressure, you know, that's put on a woman to get like to breastfeed. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like it just, yeah. You know, around motherhood, right. Child and baby, like that's the sacred cow. Okay. Right. In your experience, right. From a Western mind, people might look at your early experience, the first couple of years of your life. And they might be like, that's horrible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, so I was born here in San Jose, California. My mom had gone back to India to get married. She was already an American citizen, and my father hadn't come to America yet, and she had gotten pregnant. I was a honeymoon baby. And so when I was 8 months old, born here, my parents didn't have any money. Type situation, starting to get their life started. So they had made the decision to send me to India. So my grandparents, my paternal grandparents in India could raise me. So I literally went from breastfeeding to not seeing my mom for 3.5 years. And that was something that I've had to do a lot of healing through. And it's actually been a great experience because it's made my family incredibly close. Because that energy, even if not spoken about, is there. Right, that confusion, resentment, sadness, trust, I think is a big thing. Trust, I would say the word, but that was definitely one of my, I try not to even use this word a lot, to be honest, but my earliest traumas, you know what I mean?
Well,
I don't even look at things like that.
It's a trauma. It's a trauma.
It's a trauma, but I don't try to get stuck in that wordage for myself, if that makes sense.
I think it's our attitude. Like, you know, and this is where I love astrology, because it gives us a different way to talk about things. So one of the main planets associated with trauma in astrology is Pluto. Wherever Pluto is, it tells us where... This is the languaging I use, okay? Where we've lost our innocence.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what a traumatic experience is. We can't go back to a former state of innocence anymore.
It left its imprint.
Yes. We can't go back to that former state of innocence. And right, okay, but if we're putting this in an evolutionary perspective, then we see it as an impetus to move beyond it. Not to go back, but to move beyond it to a greater level of innocence. A more real, holistic, unshakable level of innocence.
Yeah. But it was all, but to even make it bigger than myself, for sure, the innocence is also recognizing when I was able to have the honest conversation with my mother and so forth of how that trauma was beyond me, because she too was traumatized.
Yeah.
But, you know?
But even the idea, but even this idea of trauma, the point I'm trying to make is we only grow, we only evolve. We only grow and we only evolve because of our trauma, okay?
And don't you think that's a choice?
No. Well, it's not. I don't think it's a choice to be traumatized or not. I think how we respond.
No. I'm not talking about the trauma. I'm saying you said it's the only way we can grow, but don't you think growing or evolving from the trauma is a choice?
Well, I think it's a choice depending on... I think, yes, theoretically it's a choice, but this is what I'm getting at. It's not a. It's only a choice depending on your perspective about trauma. If trauma means I'm a victim and someone needs to make this right, we've given choice away. If we realize, wow, this happened to me for a reason to help me grow beyond this. Yeah. I love this. This is impetus to help me grow beyond this, and we approach it from that attitude. Hell yeah, it's a choice, and it's an empowering choice. It's an empowering one. I think it's the most empowering choice we can make.
I agree with you, because I went from one edge of the pendulum to the other. I went from the moment of feeling like these other cards are dealt. Sucks to be me. It is what it is. I have to deal with it, whatever. You know what I mean? And it, to the point of like actually facing it and very much accepting it as part of my journey and actually being just letting, there's no attachment to what if or what shouldn't. It just is. And what happened and the evolution of my own life growing. And it's funny because that experience, whatever it was for me and having to heal and deal with it, it literally changed my whole relationship with my mother.
Yeah.
To ways of like feeling incredibly secure and loved and supported, because there was a way to honestly communicate, and she too has done her healing in it, you know? So it's actually, to me now, it's something I can smile about, because it's quite a beautiful thing, to be honest with you. And, but like 5 years ago, I would have been crying if you kept bringing it up, to be honest. You know what I mean? It was just a wound that was open.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really enjoying this conversation, and I feel like it's real, you know, that it's real. Of course, you know, we're guys and we're successful, so there's some pretense, but it's like 95.
We've known each other. We've known each other for some time too. So.
Yeah, but it definitely helps, but it can hurt sometimes. But you know, meaning examples of, and we're touching the surface. You know, it's easy to talk about things where we've been traumatized because they happened to us, but it's more difficult to talk about the way we've traumatized others and been traumatized by that. Because, and this is Pluto talk, Pluto Scorpio talk, is when you can actually talk about these things, right? You can move them so they're not just eating us up from the inside. That's the first step in the healing process. Because we realize when we really share our darkest, deepest secrets in a safe place and we choose the right people, we realize everyone has these secrets. And, right, everyone has this trauma and this darkness and these secrets. And... right? It's what we need for our growth. So if we're hiding it and keeping it inside, that's what keeps us stuck, right? If we can find a safe place for it to move.
But right? It goes back to what you said earlier. It goes back to I.
Mm.
It goes back to I. that when it, when we get into the I'm a victim because of this, it goes into the I, you lose connection to the whole. It's part of that healing too. There's a brotherhood and a sisterhood that comes with that recognition of knowing that everyone's experiencing it in their own ways. It doesn't have to look the same. That's not the point. But that they're everyone's had their own imprints, you know. It's allowed me to be a lot less judgmental of people.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. So I mean, I'm thinking of a moment this past weekend. We were in the desert in Blythe.
That was never heard of Blythe in my life, bro. That was so fun.
Celebrating Blaze's 18th birthday. Yeah. He made it to 18.
Yeah, you did good, man.
I did my part. But there was a point where Blaze was telling a story about his tooth. And there's a young woman in the audience, and she was like, oh, is this going to be like a sad story? And I said, don't worry. Like, this kid has a lot of those kinds of tragic stories. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I said it, I was like, And I said it because I recognize it because I have a lot of those same kinds of tragic stories too. Right. And I think about Blaze's chart and my chart and what they have in common. We both have the South Node in the 8th house. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we both have a history, karma of attracting these kinds of trauma and dramatic kinds of experiences. Okay.
Yeah.
And so when I was driving home, I was thinking about, you could describe someone based on their South Node. You could say that's an 8th house South Node person, and you'd recognize them because when they start telling their life stories, you're always like, goodness gracious, like, how did you survive? How are you so?
Yeah,
like,
that's a lot. I mean, I was expecting one, not 20.
Exactly.
Damn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to think about that, you know, because as he's telling the story, and I said that, we all laughed, right? We all laughed at the fact that this 18-year-old kid has had a really difficult life, okay? And to me, that was a beautiful thing, because in the company of his older, wiser, respected friends, okay, he got the message. This isn't about feeling sorry for yourself, right? This is about cherishing the fact that you're here laughing and smiling, and you've survived all of these things. Like, and thinking about, you've been through this now, like, how bright is your future?
Yeah.
And that was a special moment that as we deal with challenges. And when I was in like the lowest point in my life, I referred back to all the movies I ever watched, right? That in the movie, there's always that middle scene where, you know, the protagonist is about to die, right? Things look really, really bad, but you know, in the end, he's going to pull it out. And so I would remind myself, this is just like the middle of the story. Somehow I know, this is how stories go. I'm going to pull through and pull myself out.
And like my acting teacher always says, everyone's a lead in their own film.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, and I think I like this analogy. I think astrology can give us like the Cliff's Notes of our script. You know, we fill in the details. We fill in the details, right? Whether I think we even choose whether it's a comedy, right? Or a rom-com, we choose, right?
That's a big part of our free will.
That's a big part of
the free will destiny argument, right? It's like, that's a big part of the free will part. It's like, the experience is less important. Let's just pretend for this conversation's sake, it's destiny.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
To say everything that happens is meant to happen, it's going to happen. But if you get to choose how you respond to it, if that's the free will and where our karmic intention's created, then I'd rather laugh about it than cry about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're shining right now as you're spitting wisdom, and you know, we know each other for a while, but I haven't seen you for a while. And after spending some time with you this weekend, there's like a clarity. There's like a glow. There's a glow. I know. So keep doing what you're doing. You know.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for being. You've been a big part of. Some of the material things that's kind of pushed me, and I appreciate that nudge.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too into the details, but I know because I overheard Blaze talking about you going through this Neptune period, you know? as Neptune moves through Pisces, it's opposing all the planets in the 12th house of Virgo. And so see if I can break this down. As the planets move through, right, as astrologers or people into astrology, we learn what the planets mean, kind of, okay? And so as the planets move over places in our chart, what the planets mean starts to affect our lives, okay?
Yeah.
And so the planet Neptune is the planet that is in charge of dissolving our false identity, our false attachment to things, so that we can attach to something that's more real. And so a typical experience, not everyone, but when Neptune hits, people typically experience some sort of loss, okay?
Yeah.
Not always, but the idea is if you're holding on to something that you think is valuable, but actually is not, in a Neptune time, that thing will be taken away from you, okay? If you're in the right place, right, when Neptune hits, you'll appreciate the fact, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. I get it now. I get it why that had to happen and I ended up here. It's a spiritualizing influence. But unfortunately, most people, especially Americans, were not trained how to handle spiritualizing experiences, right?
No, we want to fix it with a drug or a chemical or something's wrong, you know? For me, it's funny that you say that, because when Blaze asked that question, my answer is it's such deep feeling of transformation where it's like the version of me 6 months ago feels like a different world.
Yes.
I feel like I'm just constantly being, it sounds cliche, but reborn in a way. I just feel like a different person.
Yeah.
Constantly. And it feels so accelerated as for me, you know?
Yes,
it's
yes.
Like, not like I'm so different. It's obvious to say, for me at least, to be like, Ricky, I'm so different than 2 years ago. That seems like a very obvious statement. But for me to say, dude, I'm so different than I was 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I am not just saying it to exaggerate. I feel that. What I even said 5 weeks ago, I might be like, what? It's just, it just feels so fast paced. Losing my grandma a couple months ago, really attachment.
Yeah.
Attachment. It was interesting. It was a death of someone who was literally, when I was sent to India, she was my mother for 4 years, you know? And there was feeling the loss and grieving, but also having a deeper sense of like my attachment to people. It made me have a more loving experience and a less of an attachment experience. And that death showed me the difference.
Yeah.
And it's a feeling, you know, or me as a creative, after I released the film, I only released it in February. It's not that long ago. Technically, it feels like years ago.
Yeah.
It feels literally like years ago, because the experience of revealing it and showing my truth at that moment to people just accelerated me so much of like, oh, this feels right.
Yeah.
Now what, you know, so it's been constant.
This is a great example in the language you use. So the outer planets, we call them Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. They move more slowly. And so they're over a planet for longer periods of time. So a Uranian time lasts about 2 years, two and a half years. A Neptune time lasts about 3 years. Mm-hmm. About 3 years, and a Pluto time can last anywhere from 2 to 10. Pluto's crazy, but it is this experience where, if especially if you haven't seen someone for a while, where if you see them and then you see them again a couple of years later, they're a completely different person. So like Linnea, you know, she's got three planets in Pisces. So Neptune has been moving over her Pisces planets, and her friends, you know, when I met her, she was a corporate attorney. You know,
a
corporate attorney who never really even considered having a child. Right now she's running a cannabis company. She's part of two cannabis companies, an astrology company, and she's a mom. Right. So people that haven't seen her in a couple of years are like, what happened to you?
What? Okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, yes.
Who are you?
Yes. Yes. So the spiritualizing influence, and again, this is something that happened organically. It wasn't looking at your chart, but just being around you. I was like, wow, there's something different. And I'll bring it back to where we started. Triple Virgo, okay? Right, so each sign, right, in the course of their life will go through a Neptunian experience. Each person will go through a Neptunian experience. But a Neptune experience for a Virgo is going to be a specific kind of experience, right? You would think in general, someone goes through a Neptunian time, what you would expect depending on the person, but you would expect some level that they're softer, right? They're softer. They believe in more, okay? They're more transparent. Might only be a tiny bit, but you would expect through the loss or whatever they experience that it softened them a little bit, okay? So you would expect that. And spending time with you, I was like, the Virgo, because before it was like, I'll be honest, it was like, oh, you know, we're going to hang out with Pritesh. Oh, I got to make sure like everything looks good, because if it doesn't, he's going to make a comment. He's going to make a comment about it, you know? And right, like, right. I'm Virgo rising, so we just notice a lot and we mention things. We don't even think that we're trying to be critical. It's just we just notice and we're sharing what we notice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, like you said, like that Pritesh is going to notice things and he's going to say something, right? And she's got to be ready for it. And it was there, but it was soft and it was it was beautiful, you know? And the comedy, like everything was, it was nice, right? There was less Pritesh the ego, right? And there was more like this, you know?
Yeah.
This energy. So I keep it up. I feel it and I appreciate it. And I can sense also that it's, you know, it's coming through your work. And it's funny. Invisible Brown Man, this beautiful piece. What do you call? Is it a short? Is that what it's?
It's a short film on YouTube. Yeah.
So, and you know, we were talking about it the other day, and I had that same experience. Like I was watching it, and then at the very end, right, I was like, "You little bitch!" And then you like switched it around, right, and took responsibility, and I was like, "This is it, right? This is it." So, you know, before I let you go, do you want to just talk a little bit about your short film?
Well, yeah. I mean, first, I'm glad it resonated with you. I mean, Invisible Brown Man, you can find it on YouTube or any of my social media at The Pritesh Shah. But I wrote it because as an actor, I was having all these experiences where, you know, it's the typical things you hear about of stereotyping, you know, where it's you're profiling or you're making Indian people or desexualizing Indian men or whatever it is we see and hear about of people of color in Hollywood specifically. And I'm not going to lie, I went through a period of time where I was letting that narrative really run my own life. My ego was holding on to that narrative. So it was very easy to latch on to that story. So I wrote this short with an incredible writer. And it really follows my character through these acting audition and experiences balancing family life and those pressures of succeeding from that Indian background and also choosing this path where there's no technical security as his family's used to, but also growing through that and recognizing that exactly what he was complaining about is exactly what he was doing. And it was that moment of recognition that he sees you know, an impotent for success in his own life. And it's funny because you talk about art imitating life is it's what I've seen in my own life, you know? And I realized as much as I was feeling used, I think when you met me, when you talk about my ego, there was moments where I felt used. I was upset. I was pissed because this is how I wanted it and I wasn't getting it. And instead of taking some level of accountability, say, hey, relax, brother. You doing the same thing, you know, it's you're doing the exact same thing. And if not, you were doing it more because you were living it, you're breathing it. I mean, this experience with this person in the room is momentary for a period of time. But if that's the narration in my head, 24 hours, 7 days a week, are you kidding me? You're blaming that person? You're doing it all day, every day in this body. And for me, it was taking this work and really shedding that and not saying there aren't things that need to be changed, but, definitely taking my accountability, my part in it, tends to transform stuff naturally.
Yeah, you nailed it, because I think we don't realize that what keeps things instituted, what keeps things the same, is that our thoughts, right? Our thoughts don't change, right? Instead of thinking of what can be different, we just fight the system, and then we keep it in place. And you know, when I watched Invisible Brown Man, you know, I had your chart in the back of my mind, and I was thinking about like the process of being an actor and doing all these different auditions of trying to make yourself fit into someone else's story, right?
Yeah.
And like being transparent gives you the ability to do that, but if your identity is tied to it, you see how it can get you in trouble.
Yeah, well, you lose freedom. And when you lose that freedom, I mean, essentially, that's what we're really aiming for, is that spiritual freedom, you know, because there's no tie to the ego or these identities. And then when I'm going for an audition, you know, this is one thing that's most interesting. I find acting, Ricky, to be so much easier. You know, it just comes easy. And I don't mean this as an arrogant statement. I'm so great. It's not about that. It's about the fact that when you shed all this stuff and these attachments to narratives and stuff, you just connect. You'll connect to the character. You don't have judgment to the character. You can feel what this person must be feeling. And it just feels ease.
So
there's ease to it.
So it's funny. I'm just going to call you out on this because I like calling you out. But it's funny. And I do the same thing. So I'm calling myself out. How we apologize for what we're good at.
I knew you were going to say that. We talked about this. Yeah, I know. I know.
But because to me, you know, I think we're best at being ourselves. And so when I think of your chart, 12th house Virgo, and you say it's easy, it's because you're being a 12th house Virgo. So it's easy to be yourself. It's easy to be yourself. You know, so I was talking to Steven, and he's a Capricorn. So I asked him about his great work. And he doesn't apologize for being the best. But he immediately went into, I just knew at a young age that I wasn't learning this, I was remembering this. Hmm. So this ability to recognize, because part of Virgo is, yes, part of humility is recognizing where we need to get better, but a more important part of humility is recognizing what we're already good at.
I like that. You gotta quote that.
Well, tweet.
I'm gonna tweet that. I tag you on that one, Ricky.
Right, because if you're like right as a football player, okay, for me to get better as a football player was really easy. So my Virgo was fed. For me to improve as an astrologer was really easy because I was just doing something that fit who I was. Right, and the more I was trying to be a football player or trying to be an astrologer, it was hard. Right, but the more I just eased into my duty. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna talking to Arjuna, right? The more I could ease into my duty and be myself, it was easy. It was easy.
Yeah. The tough part. The true duty is ourselves. That's it. We're already there. The pogs already play.
Yeah. But the tough part is figuring that out, because we're all born into a culture, into a family, into a neighborhood, into a city that's sending us messages about who we should be. You know, and I think that's why meditation, aside from it's in, right, and you're woke if you're meditating. The practical use of meditation is it's time where you're actually devoting to being curious about what's going on in here, because, you know, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's where it's at.
It becomes a place where I always come out of it with a smile, man.
Yeah.
It's just that's where I remember. I remember it reminds me of my truth, you know, this experience and I'm like I come back out of it, I'm like, oh, I'm wearing this suit again.
That's the number one advice I'd give to a 12th house Virgo is daily meditation, the daily forgetting, the practice Virgo of forgetting 12th house.
I'll miss a day here or there, but I'm pretty constant with it, and it's helped me tremendously, especially over the last, since you've met me to now, but I've also had flow with it. So when you met me, I was hardcore Kundalini, and I needed at the time. You know, that was great for me, but I also have flow with it. So I'll still do it, but is the flow, I mean, is if I don't do an hour, I'm not sitting there mad. If I end up just doing 15 minutes and that's what I was feeling that day, I'm cool with it. You know what I mean? That's where my freedoms come from now, which is really important for me.
Yeah.
I enjoy life more because I have allowed myself to flow.
See, for me, this is where I see, and I could be way off, but I see the future of astrological conversation moving in this direction, where it's people talking about how they do Virgo, because Virgos will be sitting and be like, oh, that is good. I didn't even think about that, right? Because it's a place where we can have a sense where we're on the same page. We're on the same page, right? Because, again, a chart like yours, I'm guessing you can't have this kind of conversation with everyone. I mean, I feel fortunate enough that I can speak on your level to a certain extent, because, you know, I studied in tents, you know, you grew up kind of in the culture, but I studied the Bhagavad Gita intensely for 2 months, you know, so I can touch the surface of an idea that I think is really that you get. And yeah, I think one more thing, and I think it's interesting, it was one of the things we share in common, and it was part of the you know, the dark and darker, is being minorities, both grew up in San Diego, who come with yours even richer than mine, but come with a rich cultural story, history.
Yeah.
And that's part of who we are at our core, and how to integrate that into this different land that we find ourselves in.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, because these are the conversations that I can talk to you about this for hours. I'm surprised an hour has already gone by, to be honest. I mean, you know how it was over the weekend. It's just picked up like we left off, right? Just enjoying the scenery and having a great talk. But what thing has changed is also not, if I'm not connecting at this level, one, I don't do is, like you said, I become more myself. So I don't pretend this isn't there. I'm not trying to just live at the superficial to make other people comfortable. Right. That's something I've played with my whole life. You know, when I was a kid, even I was too funny. So don't be funny. Yeah. I was too this. So don't be that. Always trying to make other people comfortable around you. And I push back on that a lot, even a decade ago. But now I've not allowed, like, even if you see my tweets or what I just speak my truth as I know it. So that's been great. But I do allow myself to experience, and I think I told you this over the weekend, I'm like, yo, if I'm just going to, you know, play basketball with this person, I'll enjoy an hour of physical game of basketball, because guess what? I enjoy it. I like it. It's fun. And that's what, and this person and I have an enjoyable experience doing that. Now, am I going to have this conversation you and I have with that person? Let me tell you, hell no. Like, there won't be receptivity, but that's okay.
But
that's
okay. To me,
I'm just with this person to play ball. I'll play ball. That's it.
But that's beautiful. And what you said, I think the nugget right there is, you know yourself enough to know I can be me doing this for an hour. Right. But sometimes, you know, we try to, the expectation is that I'm supposed to be here for 2 hours. And then the first hour you might have fun. The second hour you're just in a shitty mood because you'd rather be doing something else. And then people are like, why are you in such a shitty mood? Right. To be able to know ourselves and to be able to be ourselves, and people know, right? Pratesh is that guy that can do it for an hour, right? And people are happy with that, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, even when I go on, Darcy knows, right? When we go out to eat, she knows if there's too many people and too much noise, I ain't gonna feel it.
Yeah.
I don't like yelling, and I don't wanna hear other table next to us bitching about their lives, and I can hear it. So if we go to a restaurant and the tables are full, she looks at me, she goes, well, we're going to go somewhere else. I'm like, yep.
Yeah. This is beautiful. I mean, this is right. And this is about caring. Now I'm going to get into relationships. This is about knowing the people that know, right? I know when I'm with you, I know we can have these conversations, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I was excited about this weekend too. Cause, and I not to speak on your behalf, but I know it's like that. If you're going to be in large groups of people or a larger group of people, it was cool knowing that there was trust and we could have these types of conversations, and we did. But we could have that type of conversation and then talk shit.
Yeah.
And then we could also get on the boat and have a good time, just listen to some rap music. Like, it was full. There was no judgment, but you could live all aspects of life. You know, you could involve this ethereal and have pleasure and eat some pizza and chill. You know, it wasn't just we're sitting there in one moment. So,
and here's the beautiful thing. Last thing I'll say. Here's the beautiful thing about that is, because we're used to existing in different compartments. Around this person, I can be like this. Around my parents, I can be like this. Around this person, I can be like this. That when you get in a group like that and you allow different parts of yourself to come up, it gives the opportunity for those different parts of ourselves to weave themselves together. Because when they only exist separate, they don't ever get to like meet each other. But, you know, that's what I experience. Like, you know, over here with Blaze on Mushrooms, having a conversation, right? A certain kind of conversation, then going to talk to you, and then going to talk to Matt about business stuff. It's like all those parts of me got to weave together and got to get to know each other. It was beautiful.
And then we're throwing the football.
And then we're wakeboard. Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? It was just like so many things. And I had a blast. I had a great time. I had a really, really, like some of the most fun I've had in a while, to be honest with you. It was cool. And it's also funny because how the world universe works talks about a little moment of flow is I've been so getting into boating for some reason.
Yeah.
Incredibly. I watch boating videos every day. One of my goals is always been like, you know what? I didn't experience it as a child, but when I have children, I would love to have a house by the lake. I'd love to just boat and like experience water sports with my kids. What a cool bonding experience that would be. I've been literally looking like, how much would it cost to buy a yacht or a boat? How do you get into all this stuff? And we were originally planning to go to Joshua Tree, as you know.
Yeah.
So how funny and interesting is it that we ended up going to this place I've never been heard of, to a guy's house I've never met, who happens to, it fulfilled so many of the things I'd visualized. And then after you left, he even let me drive the boat, which was one of my highlights. One of my highlights for sure was being able to drive it, go full speed, have a dude wakeboarding behind me. I was like, this is the coolest experience. I've been watching so many videos on this and I've wanted to participate in this and it got to happen. So that was also just it was interesting how that came to fruition.
Yeah, well, it was great connecting, and you know, this brought us to this conversation. So let's stay in touch, and thank you so much for coming on Curious Questions.
Yeah, now we got to do one again when I'm in person, man.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you guys were doing that.
Yeah, we had a chair. We had a chair ready for you, but next time.
next time. Yeah. All right, brother.
All right, thanks, Pritesh. Okay, so that was Pritesh. Wow, I'm impressed. I know in the intro, I said, you know, from spending some time with him this past week, and I noticed a change. But to have this you know, more drawn out conversation and to really see where his mind is at, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And this is one of the things I love about what I do is seeing people come into their own. People come into their own. And I like to think of what I do in my work is that I give people permission that, you know, by being crazy, by being myself, people spend time with me and they walk away thinking, if he can be himself, you know, maybe I can too. Because I truly believe people are most interesting when they're being themselves. And people are most annoying when they're not being themselves. And I have to, if I'm being honest, I have to remind myself that we're all going through this process. And I was very annoying, super annoying to people for a long time when I wasn't being myself. And so my practice is working on compassion as we all go through this process. And thank God I'm to the place where I'm not being myself. I annoy myself. And so I wish that for everyone, because I think the world be a much better place when we can all show up. All right. Thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you next time on Curious Questions with me, Ricky Williams. Bye.